Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Everybody's doing good this morning.
Yes.
Amen. Football season is back.
Woohoo! Come on.
Oh boy, I said, we're back. NFL doing preseason. College right around the corner. I tell you, it's more of a competition between the NFL and college because college gets real hype now, you know.
Yeah.
But that football season is back. People are getting hyped. They even got me to thinking like, man, you know, food. That's what I thought about football. Like, food. That's what football season made me think. Food is back. Like it's going somewhere. A lot of eating and everything. So, and that's excuses to get together and eat. So,
yeah.
Hey, man, I tell you, but we live in a very wealthy country. You gotta love living in a very wealthy country. We're going to be over in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. But I think about football season, there's a lot of spending on tailgating food. And we know about that as a church because tailgate season is here for us. And, you know, we do tailgate at Bellhaven. We do that once a year. But God is so blessed us with Christopher. So now we got two tailgates to do. I don't know what y'all going to do, man. Tailgates are exhausting. They're fun. But it's like, wow, everything that goes into it. But I'm looking excited to get over there on home, Mississippi College ground and tailgating and hanging out and seeing how they do it over there, you know. When you do tailgates at different colleges, it's so different. You're like, they do it a lot different here and a lot different there. So I'm looking just to see how they do it over there. But it's going to be fun. So it's that season, football, fall season. Fair's coming back. It's right around the corner. I did go to Minnesota Fair. I was watching something on TV yesterday. You ever watch the Travel Channel? I'm talking about destinations.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the Minnesota Fair, the food that they make. I'm like,
yeah.
Food look good. I just need to go there and see what they're doing there, you know. You know, walleye is their special thing, but love it there. But this morning, guys, we want to talk about how rich you are.
Come on. Okay.
Yeah, probably say, see, no, I'm not that rich. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen my bank account lately, but brother, I'm not rolling like that, you know. But how rich are you? You know, rich is defined by people in many different ways. But I'm here to tell you, you know, riches in America is defined about the amount of quantity or possessions that you have.
Yeah.
If I've got more than you, I'm considered to be a little richer than you are. That's the way you view things. He's got the nice boat, they've got the nice house, they've got the nice truck, always look like they're never working, they always like they're home or something. You know, just quantity is how we view like they have more. But if you view it from other people's eyes and other country eyes, they're like, you're rich. You may not have as much as him over there living up on top of the hill, but you got more than me and from the country that I come from. You know, other places look at us and say, man, you are in a place of honor because of your wealth and because of all the riches that you have. But I'm here to tell you that for a disciple, you are truly in the highest place of honor. And I'm not talking about possession or money. You are far more richer than anybody else on this planet or this universe, believe it or not. That's how rich you really are, if you put it in context and look at it from God's point of view. You know, with such spiritual wealth that you have, you have to ask yourself, what do you do with it?
Come on.
You ever wonder, like, man, you know, have you ever just taken time, like, let me pause and let me evaluate myself and let me just see how really rich I am in God and what do I do with it? What do I do with the wealth that I have in God? You know, and some people say, well, what wealth are you talking about? First of all, in God, we are privileged to know the secrets of God. The little bit of secret that God allows us to know. But we are privileged to know the secrets of God. And because we know those secrets of God, which is just in the Bible, we're far wealthier than most people in this world.
That's right.
And that most is a lot.
Yes.
But what do you do with that wealth, you know? You know, some people, they give a little bit of that wealth. I don't know, maybe they think, like, I didn't keep it all for myself. You know, sometimes we think, you know, when we come to a little bit of money or something, like, well, I'm going to give you a little bit. Can't give you much because this may not stretch me long. You know, it's not going to last long for me, you know. But I think it's just about management. It's how you manage your money determines on how far it'll stretch. Mm-hmm. How you invest it, where you put it, determines how far your money will stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Then God's salvation is an endless supply if you take care of it. It never runs out. But, you know, some people, you know, they give a little of themselves. Some give a lot. Some days you're just giving, like, man, I'm just giving so much and so much. And, you know, then some of us, I don't share it all. I don't play well with others. I just don't want to give none of myself or none of my wealth or none of my riches. That's how we are. But, you know, some people become complacent with their wealth. They become consumed, not wanting to share. But, you know, we are called to be givers. We're challenged to share. And we're compelled to look beyond our own wants, desires, comforts, and needs. That's what we're challenged to do. And you notice I started with wants, because we seem to want more than we need more. I don't know why we're like that, but I really want this, but you actually really need this. You know, I desire this, but no, actually you really need this. You know, well, I'm more comfortable with being in this position or doing this. No, but you really need this challenge in your life. You need this next milestone. Imagine if God could let you choose about how your life was going to go and the challenges you were going to face. Wouldn't that be great? I won't be choosing that challenge, Lord. Now, I'm going to take the easy road. But God said, no, you need this to develop and define your character. Think about a lot of things that you've gone through in life. It has helped to make the person who you are today. Think about it. You're like, man, I don't want to go through it again. But it has helped to develop and define and make the person you are today. And because of who you are, you're able to share it with others. We're going to be on Luke chapter 16, verse 19, talking about something that's very familiar when we talk about develop and define and how you live and the impact it has on your life after after you leave this world here. Talk about, you know, the rich man and Lazarus. That's an old story we've already heard all
the time. Yeah, yeah.
But let me tell you something. Never get tired of hearing it, because it just has so much volume, so much knowledge, so much information for us, the believers, to say, you need to know this story. You need to hear it. You need to understand. And so God introduces us to two individuals who live their life on this world. And it talks about their riches and the position they were in life. Picking up at verse 19, it says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. It says, at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Wow. Lazarus was in a very, very bad way. Mm-hmm. Can't imagine living like that. Can't imagine that God said, this is the life you're going to be living, you know, until I bring you home. You know, if you've known that, but I wouldn't be born to the next people. You know, I wouldn't go down to the next thing. I don't want to be next. You can cut in front of me. But here you have a rich man named Lazarus. They eat purple. And if you notice in biblical history, purple seems to be a very defined color to everybody in biblical history. But he's in purple, fine linen and everything, living good. And Lazarus sits at his gate, and Lazarus said, I just take whatever falls from the table. That is speaking of some severe starvation. That is some very severe starvation. Yeah. Take what falls from the table. And of course, Jesus is telling this parable, of course, to the Pharisees and everything. They're there, the disciples are there. And he's telling this because, number one, the Pharisees, in their days, are like, you know, if you're in that situation, they believe that you were divinely unfavored.
Right.
I mean, God was like, no. See, you did something wrong or something, right? You don't have God's favor. That's what they believe. But Jesus always told a parable to change people's character, to change their heart. Hope you get this story I'm telling. I'm trying to make it as simple and plain as possible. That's right. Hoping it dings you and hope that you get it. Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes, you know, they just never got it. They just never got it. Even the disciples never got it. They just never got what was going on. But Jesus was making a point here. And you know, he wants us to really think about, number one, the luxury we live in every day. Mm-hmm. As disciples, we live in luxury. We may not think it, but we live in luxury. Now, let's think of it from America's point of view. We live in luxury.
We do. Yep.
I don't care what leader is in control and acting crazy. We live in luxury.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There are no checkpoints you got to go through to go from one state to another.
That's right.
You live in luxury. Right. You can walk in any grocery store, any shopping center right now, and as long as you got money, you can buy it. It's yours.
Yep.
Luxury.
Yep.
That's it. You can practically live in any neighborhood you want to, depending on how hard you work for it.
That's right.
Yep.
That's luxury.
Yep.
That's it. And you don't have to work at all, and you can sit on the corner and hold a sign up. And guess what? For some reason, the Holy Spirit or somebody is going to compel you to say, guess what? I'm like, I feel like giving them a dollar today. You live in luxury. Mm-hmm. You may not think it. You live in luxury. As a disciple, you live in luxury.
Yep.
You know the secrets of God, which is truly amazing. And the secrets of God is what empowers you to live a very, very favorable life.
That's right.
It does. It compels you to do things that you never would have done. You're like, yeah, I may have did some things, but it compels you to be more out of yourself. That's what living with God is like, knowing God's secret. Man, it compels you to help people you would have never helped. It compels you to reach out to people you would have never reached out. It compels you to do things on your job that you never would have did. It compels you to tolerate a boss who's just unbearable. I hope it's not for the money. I just think it's because God. That's it. You're like, nah, I need this paycheck. But I think this God compels you to stay someplace. You're hoping for the best. Mm-hmm. Or until the next thing comes along. But you know, we live in luxury every day. And this was a lifestyle that the rich man lived in. Luxury every day. Can you imagine living in luxury and you walk by people who are in need of what you have and you never give once? You never give once. You have what people, whether they know it or not, you have what they need, but you never give once. Wow. Taking luxury for granted. Picking up verse 22, it says, the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. It says, in Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. Wow. I think about how rich you really are, how rich you really am. Mm-hmm. But it's about what you do with your riches when you're on this side here. Mm-hmm. That have far, far affect the implications of how you'll be on the other side. And here it talks about Abraham's bosom. So we're not exactly in heaven just yet. But it talks about he's in a place of paradise. He's in a place now where it's like, there's no more sores, there's no more torment. Now I get to enjoy comfort. And on the other side, where Lazarus is enjoying comfort, it's forever. It's not temporary like it is, like things are here. Mm-hmm. But now the rich man who lived in luxury, guess where he's at? He's in torment. Mm-hmm. And that ain't going nowhere anytime soon. You know, I think about this being rich. What do you do with your riches?
Come on.
How are you treating your riches? You know, we're very much rich in time. What do we do with that time? I think about here, it says he was very thirsty. You know, there are people thirsty every day. They're hungry for something.
Right.
They are hungry for something. I don't know if it's a new job, a new career, hungry to get out of school. Mm-hmm. Heard Scott say, when does the money stop leaving the pocket? You know, when they would truly become empty nesters. Yeah. He's hungry to be like, I want to be an official empty nester, yes, you know.
Right.
It won't stop, Scotty, when you're old, brother. It won't stop. And someday, 10 years, 15 years, they have grandkids. Oh, man, you just listen to your pocket. It gets worse. You know, I had my grandson over yesterday, and I was my sister came in town. That's another story. This nigga tap my mom. This is constant checking on my sister. Them flew in town yesterday. No, Friday. I came home, and there they were, sitting in the front room. I'm like, okay. But anyway, they were like, you got all these toys. And I'm like, yeah, my daughter's like, yeah, you know, this grandson of his, he just buys them all these toys. And so going across the front of our TV now from the back door, just seeing toys. And I think I'm like, this boy has a lot of toys. And this is what the grandparent phase is like, you know, this is what you go through. But, you know, just people are always thirsty for something. But let me ask you a question. Do you see the thirst in people when you go out every day?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Do you really see the thirst? You ignore their thirst. Mm-hmm. There are people thirsty whether they know it or not.
Yeah.
But you know they're thirsty. They're thirsty for what God has to offer. You see the pain, the agony, you see the struggle. Man, you see the unhappiness, the despair, the depression.
Mm-hmm.
They're just thirsty. Mm-hmm. Will you give them a drink of water? Mm-hmm. He said, Abraham, will you allow Lazarus? Think. I thought about this. Will you allow Lazarus at least to go dip the tip of his finger? We're not talking about the whole finger. We're talking about just the tip of his finger, just so it can cool my tongue. If I'm in that much agony, we need a bucket. We just need you to pour it all over my body. I need a cool, refreshing shower. He just said, I will take the tip of water off the tip of his finger and just put it on my tongue. That's agony. That's dying of thirst. That is just like, man, I just need something to take my mind off what I'm suffering with. Uh-huh. You know, there are people every day suffering.
Yeah.
And their mind is constantly on the suffering.
Right.
Yep. Some are thinking about how can I get out of it, but then some are so defeated that they've just come to accept that I'm just going to be thirsty forever mm-hmm. because there's nobody going to give me a drink. Mm-hmm. You have the water. How many people are you offering a drink? Yeah. You have the water. You see, the rich man thought life was good. Life is great on this side. I'm okay. Lazarus, you are divinely unfavored. I will give you nothing. Get away. You know, sometimes you look at things with disgust. I can imagine looking at Lazarus with disgust. Like, oh, come this guy get rid of my gate. He's living good. He's living a life. But now things have switched around. Some people would say, it's karma. Things are on the other side. And now he wants what Lazarus, well, he wants what he would never give to Lazarus. Ain't that something?
Yeah,
he wants what he would never give the master.
That's true.
You know, I love God's mission. We would like that. You know, we claim it as our own and God has given us that ability, but it's really God's mission to see every man and every woman not suffer.
Come on.
And we think that it's just suffering on this side is bad, but it's God's vision that no man or woman suffer forever. Because that's what happens. You're going to be like the rich man. If you do not use your wealth or your riches to help others, to empower others, to help the thirsty, those who don't even know no better. God wants nobody to suffer, but we have choices, and then God allows us to choose. You remember when you were thirsty and didn't know you were thirsty?
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm not thirsty. And then somebody started studying with you. And they truly show you how dry your well really was, didn't they?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh my God, man, what is going on? It's just a shocker to your life. And you're trying to rationalize, you're trying to grab, you're like, wait a minute, no. You're trying to grab and come to grab, no. And you realize, oh man, I was just dying of thirst. Did not know, did not want to know. Some of us fought hard to resist. This is all a lie. Can't be. I'm not that thirsty. I'm not that deprived. I'm not dry bones. You realize, I'm down over here thirst. I need to get on the other side fast before my time is up here on this earth. How rich are you and how well do you share your riches with others? How rich are you and how well do you share your riches with others? So as he's asking for this favor, this is a reply nobody wants to hear. You never want to be told no. I don't care how gentle or how they deliver. You never want to be told no. But in verse 25, it says, but Abraham replied, son, remember. Why are you going to remind me? Why can't you let it go? Son, remember that in your lifetime, you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us, in you, a great chasm has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you, they cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. I don't care how you deliver a no is a no. I don't care how gentle you want to be with a no is a no. Especially if you have the expectation of that, hopefully they're going to say yes, and they tell you a no. It is so disappointing. So disappointing. The thing I got about this too, what God shows is that he says there are people who want to go from here there to help you, but they can't. Can you imagine? You're seeing this suffering going on and you want to go help, but because you're on this side and you're no longer in this life, you're on the other side, and God's like, you can't. You can't. Even though you want to help them, even though they did you wrong, they did you bad, they mistreated you, they let you suffer, but you have this heart that says, I want to help them now, Lord. I know I'm over here in this waiting place, but I want to help them. And God says, you can't. Wow. And imagine them on the other side knowing that, guess what? You can't help them then.
That's right.
The time to help somebody is now.
Come on.
The time to help somebody is now, today, in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we get to the other side,
That's too late.
You can.
Right.
No matter, you get, and look at scripture says, they never take it away from you. They never take that heart within you where you want to help somebody. They never mm-hmm. take it away from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there.
Yeah.
But you can. Today is the day that somebody needs your help. Today is the day is when you can help somebody. Because guess what? Tomorrow, if you're on the other side, you will not be able to.
That's right.
Do you have a heart to help somebody today?
Mm-hmm.
You ask yourself that every day when you wake up.
Come on.
Do I have a heart today to help somebody?
Amen.
Let me be real. Because every day you don't feel like helping somebody.
Right.
I don't care if you're having a good day. Do you have a heart to want to help somebody every day? You need to ask yourself that. And we all love second chances. But second chances for people start today. It's right now. This lifetime. This next week. This next month. That's it. You know, but when your time is up, there are no more second chances. There is none. We are a truly rich culture. And what I mean a rich culture, I'm talking about the disciple. The disciple, we are truly rich. But what are you doing with your riches? Who are you helping now? Who are you going after? There are so many beggars out there, they don't even know that they're beggars.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many beggars out there who know they're beggars, and we feel like, man, they're just so complicated to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we wish you could say, hey, look, you need Jesus, and they'd be like, okay, where's the ward? I go. Mm-hmm. Don't we wish you that was that easy?
Yes.
It's never that easy. Even Jesus, you look at Jesus like, it is never easy trying to help people. But Jesus persevered. He pushed through, and he says, I need to help them, because Jesus is like, what I have is far rich than what they think is riches. Jesus is like, I come from a very rich father who created all things, who created all lives. Man, his riches are too many to count.
Amen.
And Jesus is like, even though you are difficult people, I'm going to see the mission through to the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying to let you in into a little secret.
Right.
The riches of my father.
Amen.
What will you do with your riches? How rich are you?
Mm.
How rich are you? Finally, verse 27, he says, he answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. In verse 31, he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say about our hearts? Goodness. He says, now get this. We've all invited people out, and we have people say no. Have people run from us. Some of our people curse at us. People just ignore us. Some people just undo your number, lose your number, don't want to hear from them. We've had that. He says, look, they have Moses and the prophet. And of course, the brother said, they're not going to listen. You get somebody to rise from the dead. He said, look, I can rise as many people from the dead as I want. They ain't going to listen. What's greater, me rising from the dead to preach to you or Moses and the prophets? I mean, Moses got water out of a rock.
Yeah, sure.
The most I can do is swim across the pool, maybe. That's about all I can do for you. If you did one, I mean, you think about it. He said, yeah. Look, Moses... God allowed Moses to be a part of some amazing miracles.
Right.
He says, if you ain't going to listen to him, me waking him up from the dead is worthless. It's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that something? It's a waste of time. God says what they have right now is enough to help them change if they want to change. They have Moses and the prophet. Do you know the secrets that you have right now? It's more than enough for people to change. They want to change.
That's right.
If they want to hear it, guess what? They will hear it. Mm-hmm. If they don't, amen, it's to them. That you've done all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But God is pointing out that the riches we have is more than enough to share with everybody we come across to. Mm-hmm. It's more than enough. Sometimes we get mad and we get a little emotional, and that's okay. We get, why are they not listening? Why are they not taking it? Because it's their decision. That freedom in Christ, they don't even know that they have freedom in Christ.
That's right.
Is there a decision to say no? Is there a decision to walk off, stomp their feet? Is there a decision to think crazy when you're like, they're thinking crazy? It's their choice. to reply, to respond to your invite, to your invitation, however they want to. Yes, we are full expectation. They're going to say yes. Yes, we want them to come out. Yes, they want these riches. They want this because I'm excited about the secrets of God. They got to be excited about the secrets of God. Not everybody's excited about the secrets of God.
That's right.
They're just not.
Come on.
But you know one thing, I can tell you this. A warning is worth 1,000 words and more.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been warned about something and you didn't listen?
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wish you could go back to that morning and be like, all right, I'm going to give you this warning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rich man is like, we need to warn my family because they need to know. They do not know what's coming. They're living life in luxury. They're living life great. They're enjoying life thinking they're better than everybody else. Life is good. And they truly do not know that they're missing the boat. They're missing the picture. They're not getting the point.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't want them to come here because there's no fun over here. How do you feel about people? Do you want people to go where it's no fun? Gotta give them an opportunity.
That's right.
Gotta give them an opportunity on this side. Life is so important. Life is so precious to God. And God wants you to view it the same way. Every life is so important and precious. Every day that you walk, do you know there are people always coming past your gates, coming around you and everything? Even if you chose not to share your faith or say one word to somebody because you live in the South, somebody's going to smile and say what to you? Hello?
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to happen. Even like, Lord, that's not my forte. God, you know, God, I'm so busy. Somebody's going to say hello to you. They're going to open the door and say hello. They can come out and say, how you doing? It's your job. Somebody's going to be, they're going to do it. God said, I'm going to find a way to either force you into doing this or not. It's happening one way. You're going to have a conversation with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you got to realize everybody that you reach out to, some will, some won't. That's a part of it.
Yeah.
But we need to share the riches of God with everyone. We need to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we start this campaign now, 100 people in 100 days. I'm excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
100 people in a day. I mean, you got to reach out to 100 people in 100 days. How many people is that in a day you got to reach out to?
One.
Wow. And I say hello to more people than that in a day.
Yeah.
One person a day. I reached out to a guy named Spencer Davis the other day at the gas station, pumping gas. Hey, how you doing? Man, you know, I'm looking for a church. Yeah, yeah. Let me get your name. We gave me his full name. Spencer Davis gave me his number and all that stuff. We got numbers. Wow. Next I know, Facebook is like, hey, you might want to be friends with this guy. I'm like, they're watching me, man. They're watching me. Somehow they know my stuff. But we're talking. I've been reaching out to him. He has not responded yet. But the goal was not to say, okay, man, I'm mad because he's not responding, but the goal was, I reached out to him.
Right. Yep.
I called him. He gave
me
his information.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm afraid.
Right.
You know, 100 days about this for us. Every day, reach out to one person. You may get a little excited for one person. You may tell you, yeah, and go reach out to four or five more.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's on you. Don't stop at the spirit feels you're doing.
Amen.
But every day, reach out to one person. Mm-hmm. If they give you the name and number, amen. Thank God. If they only give you the number, they give you the name, amen, get their name. You write it down in a journal every day. Write down every name that you read through every day in a journal, every day. And you pray for each and every one of those names.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
When that time is right, God's going to make sure they come.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, I guarantee you. You're part of the process. So I reached out to Spencer Davis. I don't know who God's going to allow Spencer Davis to run into in this room.
Mm-hmm.
But when you run into him, you're like, that name sounds familiar. Let me give him an invite. Put them on my 100 list also. That's it. We want to reach out to 100 people. Reach out. Invite them to church. Pray for them. He said, what about the studies? How do we get them into the studies? Don't worry about it. We'll do a group membership class. Everybody sit in a classroom like this, and we'll talk. And I have all of you there. I say, hey, look, pick a day. Need you to come in. We're doing the word today. Need you to come in. We're doing discipleship today. Need you to come in. We're doing the cross today.
Amen.
Sisters, guess what? We're doing sin study. This is all on you. I can do sin study with them and keep it light, but I need you to get a little deeper. Guess what? Have everybody rotate in and out. Death's working together as a unit.
Yep.
Helping somebody get to Christ.
Come on.
But you need to be fired up about reaching 100 people in 100 days.
Amen.
We're going to start September the 1st. So it gives you time to start praying.
Amen.
Getting red up, Lord, get my courage up, Lord. It's just hard asking somebody for just to borrow some sugar, you know, the next door neighbor. And look, I just go scrape up my pennies and find some sugar. But you know, just start praying. The great thing about this city is, and this metro is, whether you count all the counties and everything this metro is over 500,000 people.
Ooh.
We're not even putting a dent in.
Yeah.
Put in. You can run to a lot of religious people. That's okay. They're part of your 100 people. Put them on a prayer thing. Pray for them every day. Stop praying for yourself now. Stop praying. And also part of 100 people one day, we're going to fast 100 days. You need to find something you can go without for 100. Gloria always chews chocolate. I'm interested in seeing how this is going to go. She's like, no chocolate. Where would you have to fast? Fast for 100 days. You find that one thing now. It's easy to say, well, I go without this, but you already know. I can do without this. And the Lord like, you can do without this. No, you find something like, ooh, that's going to be a craving, man, I need to have. I don't know if it's chocolate. I don't know if you love oranges. I don't know if you love sweet tea. I don't know if you love sodas. I don't know if it's something. Maybe a favorite TV show. You just have to miss all 100 episodes. The season is gone. But you need to find that one thing to go when you start your 100 people in September 1st and say, Lord, I'm fasting from this for 100 days. And I will not watch this or eat this or do this.
Amen.
And to have them 100 days over.
Mm-hmm.
We want to share our riches with people. We want people to know the riches we have, the secrets of God.
That's right.
That's what we want people to know. Mm-hmm. And we want to fill in this room. Let's keep letting them come. Keep letting them come. If they keep letting them come to be like, look, we got to move it there to the courtyard. Just let them come. Let them come. And they say, and after a while they ask you, well, I'm going to be a part of this church. Amen. Well, hey, we're going to have a group class on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's teach a little bit about the word. Exactly. That's how we're going to move forward together. Not only do we help empower them, but it strengthens us.
Come on. Yep.
And it's no matter if I'm up there teaching it, you always be chiming in because you guys have been through the study. You can always chime in and say, hey, but look at it from this way. That's working together to feed this person the secrets of God and get them all fired up.
Amen.
It's working as a team.
Amen.
Right. That's right.
How we do it. So guys, I want you to be fired up, and I want you to learn from this parable that Jesus is telling us about being rich. And that we do not need to neglect those who are looking and those who don't even know they should be looking. We don't want nobody to suffer. We don't want nobody to be lost. We want every man and woman to have an opportunity to hear the gospel from us so that they can never say, man, Lord, I never heard this. When was this preached to me? When somebody reached out to me? We want to reach every soul as possible. Every day somebody is at your gate and is in need of the good thing that you have. What is that good thing? An intimate relationship with God. His word. A relationship with his son Christ. Guidance and counseling from the Holy Spirit. The good news. The gospel. I'm just asking you guys, will you share your riches with the world? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.